Welcome to the New Braunfels OPC Sermon Archive. New Braunfels OPC is a mission work of the Orthodox Presbyterian Church and desires to proclaim the life-changing good news of Jesus Christ to New Braunfels and the surrounding communities. Today's sermon is preached by Pastor Carl Miller. Let's listen in.
Well, if you have your Bible with you this morning, and if you don't, you can find a copy of God's Word in the pocket, seat pocket in front of you. Please turn with me in the Old Testament to Exodus chapter 19. Exodus chapter 19. This morning, we are going to be considering the entire chapter, and so I will begin in verse 1 as we read God's Word together. But before we do so, join me once again in prayer. Our great God and Heavenly Father, we come now to consider your Word. And Lord, we pray, even as we have read, as we have sung, we pray that you would teach us your Word. Teach us your statutes. Teach us the very things that you would call us to do. Show us yourself, we pray, that we may honor and worship and glorify you as you desire. Lord, we pray that your Spirit would do these things in our hearts and minds now. In Christ's name, amen. 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 Well, Exodus chapter 19, beginning in verse 1, hear now the inspired, the infallible, the inerrant, holy Word of God, written for you and for me today. In the third month after the children of Israel had gone out of the land of Egypt, on the same day they came to the wilderness of Sinai. For they had departed from Rephidim, and had come to the wilderness of Sinai, and camped in the wilderness. So Israel camped there before the mountain. And Moses went up to God, and the Lord called him to him from the mountain, saying, Thus you shall say to the house of Jacob, and tell the children of Israel, You have seen what I did to the Egyptians, how I bore you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself. Now therefore, if you will indeed obey my voice and keep my covenant, then you shall be a special treasure to me above all people, for all the earth is mine. And you shall be to me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words which you shall speak to the children of Israel. So Moses came and called for the elders of the people and laid before them all these words which the Lord commanded him. Then all the people answered together and said, All that the Lord has spoken, we will do. So Moses brought back the words of the people to the Lord. And the Lord said to Moses, Behold, I come to you in the thick cloud, that the people may hear when I speak with you and believe you forever. So Moses told the words of the people to the Lord. And then the Lord said to Moses, Go to the people and consecrate them today and tomorrow, and let them wash their clothes, and let them be ready for the third day. For on the third day the Lord will come down upon Mount Sinai in the sight of all the people. You shall set bounds for the people all around, saying, Take heed to yourselves that you do not go up to the mountain or touch its face. Whoever touches the mountain shall surely be put to death. Not a hand shall touch him, but he shall surely be stoned or shot with an arrow. Whether man or beast, he shall not live. When the trumpet sounds long, they shall come near the mountain. So Moses went down from the mountain to the people and sanctified the people. And they washed their clothes. And he said to the people, Be ready for the third day. Do not come near your wives. Then it came to pass on the third day in the morning that there were thunderings and lightnings and a thick cloud on the mountain. And the sound of the trumpet was very loud, so that all the people who were in the camp trembled. And Moses brought the people out of the camp to meet with God. and they stood at the foot of the mountain. Now Mount Sinai was completely in smoke, because the Lord descended upon it in fire. Its smoke ascended like the smoke of a furnace, and the whole mountain quaked greatly. And when the blast of the trumpet sounded long and became louder and louder, Moses spoke, and God answered him by voice. Then the Lord came down upon Mount Sinai, on the top of the mountain. And the Lord called Moses to the top of the mountain, and Moses went up. And the Lord said to Moses, "Go down and warn the people, lest they break through to gaze at the Lord, and many of them perish. And let the priests who come near the Lord consecrate themselves, lest the Lord break out against them." But Moses said to the Lord, "The people cannot come up to Mount Sinai, for you warned us, saying, 'Set bounds around the mountain and consecrate it.'" Then the Lord said to him, "Away, get down, and then come up, you and Aaron with you, but do not let the priests and the people break through to come up to the Lord, lest he break out against them." So Moses went down to the people and spoke to them. Amen. Thus far, the reading of God's holy word. May he add his blessing to the reading of his word to us. Well, beloved in Christ Jesus, this morning I'm going to begin a new preaching series through the Ten Commandments, the Decalogue. And though we have recited this portion of God's law most Lord's days over the years that we have been together as a congregation, it will be a true blessing to consider and to be taught by the Lord about each one of his commandments in more detail in the weeks ahead. As we, like David, delight in the law and precepts of our God, let's look forward to gleaning much from them, that we may put them into practice and keep them in practice in our lives. And as an introduction, it's good and helpful for us to consider the context and what led up to the giving of the Ten Commandments to Moses. Remember back in the book of Genesis that after being sold into slavery in Egypt by his brothers, Joseph rose in authority and power in Egypt, becoming the second in command. And he brought his family, his people, to Egypt to provide for them in the years of famine, and they flourished there. In fact, they were fruitful and multiplied. They became mighty, the text tells us, and the land was full of them. You can see that in Exodus chapter 1, verse 7. But soon, another king would rise up in Egypt who didn't know Joseph. He became intimidated by the people, and he thought they were getting too mighty. They were getting too great. They would lose control. And so he enslaved them to control them. And so Israel was in bondage. They were slaves in Egypt for 400 years. And God, through Moses, brought 10 plagues against Pharaoh and the Egyptians. And after being inflicted by the last one, the death of the firstborn, Pharaoh finally let the people go. And there was the great exodus as God delivered his people out of that bondage and to the promised land, a land flowing with milk and honey, we find in Exodus 3, verse 8. My friends, God's deliverance in this event points us to what he would do for us, his people, in Jesus Christ, delivering us from bondage and slavery to sin and bringing us to our heavenly home and eternal rest. But the exodus and subsequent arrival in Canaan didn't happen overnight, did it? No, it was a long journey. In fact, that journey was even longer because of Israel's sin and disobedience against God after they left Egypt. Before they entered the promised land, the people became convinced that they could not oust the current inhabitants of the land, even though God told them that they could. And their lack of belief in God's word and promises brought forth the wrath of God. He cursed them with 40 years of wandering in the wilderness until the unbelieving generation died off, never stepping foot into the promised land. And so as we consider chapter 19 this morning, we find a very pivotal day in the history of Israel. As we see the previous chapter's description of where they had come from, and now in God's preparing them for where they were going to. And this grand message that we find here is the great importance of preparing for God's presence. The great importance of preparing for God's presence. And so let's look at our text under three headings this morning. The covenant between God and Israel that he gave and spoke to them about in verses 1 through 8. The preparation for God's presence in verses 9 through 15. And their meeting with God in verses 16 through 25. So in verses 1 and 2, we find the setting, don't we? Israel had been in the wilderness for 3 months at this point, and God had brought them to Mount Sinai for two specific purposes. And notice that he would, one, speak to them, and two, he would be present with them. He would speak to them, and he would be present with them. This was to be his place of meeting with his people. Now take note that the people camped there before the mountain, the text tells us. This wasn't like a day trip, though, to the state park. Right? It wasn't just a day pass. They were there. Everything started flowing and going. No. They would be there in the broad plain at the base of the mountain for some time. In fact, Numbers chapter 10, verse 11 teaches us that they were there for almost a year, about 11 months, camped out at the base of the mountain. But we see first that God spoke to them. And this is important. See how God's relationship with his people is through his word. And the same is true for us today. Let's never forget that. His relationship with us is through his word. And what was his focus? What was the focus of his message to the people here in these beginning verses? It was his covenant with them. The great God of the universe, the living and triune God, relates with his people by means of covenant. We need to see that throughout the scriptures. It's here true, it's here too, and it's important. But notice verses 3 through 6 then. And Moses went up to God, and the Lord called to him from the mountain, saying, Thus you shall say to the house of Jacob, and tell the children of Israel, You have seen what I did to the Egyptians, and how I bore you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself. Now therefore, if you will indeed obey my voice and keep my covenant, then you shall be a special treasure to me above all people. For all the earth is mine. Take note. And you shall be to me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words which you shall speak to the children of Israel. This God spoke. And Moses told the people God's very words exactly as he had spoken them. But see where God begins. See where God begins with two things that he had done for them. He demonstrated his covenant faithfulness through his power, as well as how he accomplished their redemption. And so we first see his power. God's power was clear in all that he did to the Egyptians. And he wanted them to know this. What had happened to the Egyptians came from the hand of Almighty God, their God, their covenant God. And it was demonstrated even as he paints this picture of what he did with his people. He bore his people up on eagle's wings. He carried them through the wilderness to bring them to himself. Note that, because this is going to be true and important as we move into chapter 20, even as we move into through the chapter 19. What was his purpose in doing this? To bring them to himself. Remember how God does the same for all of his people. Isaiah 40, verse 31. We see similar language from the prophet Isaiah. But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. The power and the work of God in his people, uplifting them, giving them strength, carrying them in their journey and in their life and walk with him. But we also see here the second thing, and that is redemption, don't we? The goal of redemption is God. Their freedom wasn't merely for their liberation, but for their adoption. God brought them to himself. This reminds us of what Peter says in 1 Peter 3:18. For Christ also suffered once for sins, the just for the unjust, that what? That he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but made alive by the Spirit. This again points us to Christ. We're going to see many acts of Moses, as Moses truly was a type of Christ. As what Moses did and what God told him and what God said was true. This points us to Jesus. We see this here in Peter. Christ suffered for us, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God. We don't come to God on our own, in our own flesh. We are brought to him by himself. Praise the Lord. And so what then did God say that he required? He had done these things for his people. He wanted them to know this so that they would see his wonderful work and they would see his requirements for them all the more clearly. That it would be important to them. That they would see the greatness of their God. And they would see how right and good it is for that great and holy and just and omnipotent God to have such requirements for his people. He required obedience and covenant faithfulness. He said, one, that they needed to obey his voice. They needed, secondly, to keep his covenant. Obey my voice. Keep my covenant. God redeemed them out of his free grace promised to Abraham. And the people would enjoy the blessings of the covenant as they obeyed. See also how God communicated their significance to him. The people were so valued and so significant, and he pointed this out even in the simple statement. We can make a full stop and stay there for many weeks. Don't worry, I won't do that, but we could. It'd be great. As the whole earth belongs to God, they would be his special treasure. They would be a kingdom of priests and a holy nation to him. Set apart.
valued above all others, above all other people on the entire earth. And here is the Creator, here is their God saying to them, you will be my special treasure. To be treasured by the living God is amazing. And yet even that is so very true for us as God's people, that we are treasured by Him in Christ. We'll consider more about that in a moment. But they were set apart in the world. They were set apart from the world and unto God. And so, as is true of His view of His Old Testament people, so the same is true of His New Testament people. Verses 5 and 6 should remind us of the Apostle Peter's teaching in 1 Peter 2:9, that we are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, His own special people that have a specific purpose, a purpose among others, and that is that we may proclaim the praises of the One that has brought us out of darkness into His light. This is what the Israelites were to know and to understand and to grasp. This great and holy God, and they were His people, a special people. But consider verses 7 and 8 in Exodus 19. So Moses came and called for the elders of the people and laid before them all these words which the Lord commanded him. And then all the people answered together and said, notice that, he came to the elders, he gave them the word of the Lord, but then the elders clearly had communicated that to the people, and all the people said, all that the Lord has spoken, we will do. And so then note that Moses brought back the words of the people to the Lord. See how God communicates and speaks to His people through a mediator. God spoke to Moses. Moses gave God's commands to the elders. The people speak to God. And Moses communicated the people's words to the Lord. Moses, in this role, again, points us to Jesus. For Jesus Christ is the only true mediator between God and man. The Father speaks to us through Christ and His Word. Hebrews 1:1 tells us, Jesus intercedes for us now, even at the Father's right hand. The great work of our mediator, Jesus Christ. And so what was the people's response? That all that the Lord has spoken, we will do. And this was good and right and appropriate. And so then Moses is to prepare the people for God's presence. Look at verse 9. And the Lord said to Moses, behold, I come to you in the thick cloud. And for what reason? That the people may hear when I speak with you and believe you forever. So Moses told the words of the people to the Lord. And then the Lord said to Moses, go to the people and consecrate them today and tomorrow and let them wash their clothes and let them be ready for the third day. For on the third day, the Lord will come down upon Mount Sinai in the sight of all the people. The Lord's presence wasn't only for Moses to observe and see, to engage with. The Lord wanted the people to hear His voice and see His presence. So when God's people declared themselves willing to obey the voice of God, notice then that God promised that they would hear His voice. And notice that in preparation for the coming special presence of the Lord, there would be a cloud and a consecration. a cloud and a consecration. God told Moses how and why he would come to him. And he would do so with some visual appearance of his glory in a thick cloud, he said. And importantly, why would he do this? So that the people would hear God and that they would, what? Believe Moses forever. Don't miss that, because again, we're pointed. In other words, God's special visual presence in the sight of the people would serve to confirm his gracious favor of his servant. And it would confirm his gracious favor of Moses so that the people would believe what Moses told them in the future without such a visual showing of his commission and authority again. The experience of God's glory, beloved, drives people to trust in a mediator. And so this once again points us to Christ and the Father's blessing through representation, doesn't it? Remember when Jesus was being baptized by John in the Jordan in Luke 3, verse 21. You can turn with me there if you'd like. Luke 3, verse 21 and 22. We read in verse 21, when all the people were baptized, it came to pass that Jesus also was baptized. And while he prayed, the heaven was opened. And what happened? Verse 22, and the Holy Spirit descended in bodily form like a dove upon him. And a voice came from heaven which said, you are my beloved Son, in you I am well pleased. My friends, see the visual appearance of the Spirit in the dove's descent, the audible voice of the Father confirming God's approval and blessing of Christ and his ministry, that many would hear him and believe. That many would hear him and believe. But Moses was also to go and do what? To consecrate the people for 2 days. For on the third day, the Lord would descend. A filthy people needed to be purified before they met with the living and holy God. That's what's important. That's what's being taught to us here. Why did that need to happen? Why did he need to consecrate them? Because they were about to meet God. And God is holy. We are not. They needed to be sanctified. They needed to be made ready and purified for that meeting. And how was Moses to consecrate them? Well, he was to ensure ritual purity occurred. And what did that look like? The people were to wash their clothes, verse 10. And they were to abstain from marital relations, verse 15. And in verses 12 through 15, we learn that Moses was also to safeguard the holiness of the mountain. It was holy ground. The people were to be given boundaries so that they wouldn't ascend the mountain nor touch its face. Any violation of this would bring a death sentence by stoning or arrow. Reminds us in some ways of the garden, doesn't it? Adam and Eve were to tend the garden, to keep it. Adam was to protect it, to guard it. They could eat of any tree in the garden, but not the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. They were not to eat of it. Now, the Lord never said, don't touch it, but they were not to eat of it. Hear the Lord, they are encamped around the mountain, in the plain. The boundaries were to be set up so that they did not go up the mountain. That they didn't even touch its base.
because the Lord would descend, and this would be his special presence. We also see this represented in the temple, don't we? In the Holy of Holies. Only one man could enter the Holy of Holies, and that was the high priest. Nobody else could go in there lest they die, because that was where the special presence of the Lord was. And the Lord is jealous of his holiness. The Lord protects his holiness, but the Lord meets with his people. And so Moses was to safeguard the holiness of the mountain, and the people were to be consecrated, and notice also warned, so that they would receive the law from God's mouth with reverence and devotion. This wasn't just a setting up of boundaries, like putting up a fence at a play yard. And the kids were like, why are you doing that? No, I want to go to the other side. I mean, that's unfair, right? No, the people had a sense of the reason of this because of the holiness of the Lord. And they were about to receive this very law. And they needed to do so with a right understanding of him, a right understanding of themselves, and they needed to have a reverence and a respect and a devotion to their holy God. Beloved, we too are called to remember and to prepare for and to keep the Lord's Day. We are to prepare ourselves, our hearts, for worship as we enter his presence together. And we do this every week before the service, don't we? We quiet our hearts and minds in preparation for the worship of our gracious God. And part of that preparation includes getting ready beforehand. There is a good and right preparation for us to do in preparing to come and to gather before his presence with his people, both physically and mentally. We pray and we ask God to help us to rein in our wandering thoughts, to remove distractions, to abandon any impure thoughts and affections, and to lay aside worries and concerns about work or family or the world, that our hearts may be focused and engaged to approach God. And so we see after such preparation, what happened in verse 16? The people met with God. As God is faithful, he came as promised in the morning on the third day. And how did he arrive? We see even much similarity in the New Testament, right? In 1 Thessalonians, when Paul talks about the second coming of Christ. No secret. It's not quiet. When God comes, his presence is known and it's majestic. He arrived, notice, with storm and fire on the mountain. And it, exactly in the way that he told Moses, in a thick cloud and with a long, loud trumpet sound for all to hear. And how did the people respond? They trembled. We tremble in the presence of God, for he is great and mighty. But oh, that wonderful covenant blessing of being in the presence of God and having such revere and respect and trembling for him, but yet being welcome as he brings us to himself in Christ. And notice the people trembled. But in verse 17, Moses brought them out to the foot of the mountain to meet with God. They trembled in the camp. And yet they weren't to stay there.
they were to come to the foot of the mountain and meet with him. Verse 18, Mount Sinai was completely covered with smoke. It was like a smoke furnace as from the fire. It covered the whole mountain. What a sight. And not just a sight that we could say, oh, wow, that's so cool. How does that work scientifically? No. For God descended on the mountain in fire. And that smoke was because of that fire. And what does the text tell us? Moses says the whole mountain quaked. The people trembled. The mountain quakes. There is nothing in the creation of God that does not shake because of his presence. Verse 19, Moses spoke to the Lord and God answered. And he answered Moses importantly by voice. Again, what did he hear? What did he say? He said he would come down and he would meet with his people and they would hear him. They would hear him. In verse 20, we notice and we need to remember that one only enters the presence of the Lord by invitation. When God came, as he told Moses he would come, Moses didn't just march up the mountain to go meet with God. God called him. And in verses 21 through 25, notice that then God told Moses to go down and to warn the people again to not break through and come up lest God break out against them. Remember, look at Moses' response. He's like, well, Lord, no, I already told them what you said. They know. Right? No. The Lord says, again, he protects his holiness. He protects his people. Right? He warns them again and again. Obey my voice. Keep my covenant. Obey my law. Do exactly as I tell you to do and don't do what I tell you not to do. Let's keep that in mind as we consider his law in the coming days. But he said, go down and warn them again. Because it will be terrible if they were to break through, kind of like, you know, roadies at a concert, pushing through the security lines. They want to get close to the band. The people wanted to see God. Here's the special presence. They were scared. They were scared out of their boots. They trembled. But yet there was a desire to come closer. But he said, no, warn them so that they don't break through, lest I break out against them. We must obey what God says, because there are blessings when we do. But then there are dire consequences if we don't. And even his anger and his wrath for not keeping his holy word. And so God's people are to have a holy reverence as we worship God. We must have godly fear of him. And also notice the distance at which the worshipers were to be kept. And may our value of our privilege under the gospel more and more be strengthened and more clear, having the knowledge that in Jesus Christ, we have the boldness to enter into the holiest by his blood. Whereas the people of Israel were told to keep back because of our Lord Jesus Christ, who is very God, he calls us to come into the throne room. We're in God's presence even now, beloved. As he speaks to us from his word. He says, come. Come because of my son.
You're welcome. And yet we still know and we revere him in his holiness. We don't come arrogantly. We don't come pridefully. We come humbly. I'll leave you with this. See and take joy that you are God's special treasure, his special people, who he brought to himself. And see the faithful work of God in his delivering and carrying and instructing and sustaining you as his people. God delivered Israel out of Egypt, and though he judged them for having grumbling and rebellious hearts against him, he brought them to himself in covenant love and mercy, giving them his word, his law. And he has done the same for you and me in Christ and his word, hasn't he? But also in this day of casual worship and irreverent prayer, let us never forget his awesome holiness and majesty. Let us never forget that we draw near to him only through the blood and righteousness of Christ. Do you see and understand how his holiness affects you and how you should approach him and prepare to be in his presence? Think about that today and in the days ahead. How does being in his holy presence as he gives his law affect how we should receive it and seek to follow it by his grace? May God grant us grace in Christ Jesus our Lord to be covenantally faithful to him. Amen. Praise God for his word. Let's pray together.
Thanks for listening. We hope that you are blessed by what you heard today. To listen to more New Braunfels OPC sermons or to find more information about our church, please visit our website at www.nbopc.org.